It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, the last time we looked at the book of Romans, we looked in chapter 2, and we left off with verse 5. And I made a comment that you should not get discouraged as we take our time going through this book. I guess the better word might have been, don't get impatient. We're looking at the Word of God, and we're not trying to rush through it. When we get to chapter 4, you're going to see that it picks up a little bit, because right now we're looking at the foundation of the book as Paul the Apostle is laying out a case here. And we're going to get into that a little later as we look in chapter 4. Well, right now, today, we're going to continue our study in chapter 2. And we're going to find out a few things here about what's going on as Paul talks once again about judgment, the judgment of God. We found out up to this point in Romans chapter 2 that God makes no mistakes. God sees everything. He's a righteous judge. But in Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. It's speaking of God here. The principle of judgment, number 7, is that God's judgment is just. He makes no mistakes. Every man will get exactly what he deserves. First of all, God will render or give back to everyone, and this is each person, according to their deeds or their works. God evaluates a man's or a woman's works and judges accordingly, and this means appropriately. Well, the penalty will perfectly fit the crime. And in this verse, it talks about deeds, and that is crime. It's referring to crimes here. And notice secondly here, Paul talks about this, and people will be judged according to their words. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37 speaks of this, and the Bible tells us that people will be judged according to their works. Once again, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, verse 27, and note this about Matthew 16, 27, that this verse is not about the judgment seat of Christ, where Christians will stand, in other words, the saved people, but it's speaking about the white throne judgment. Verse 27 of Matthew 16 says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. This is speaking of the unsaved person standing at the white throne judgment. Well, the third thing about this in verse 6 of Romans chapter 2 is that God will repay. He will render. He will repay people for the evil they have done. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, it says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And then in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, it talks about the dead, small and great, speaking of the unsaved people. They'll stand at the white throne judgment, and every knee is going to bow, and they're going to name Jesus Christ as Lord, but it's too late at that point. And dear friend, if you've never trusted Jesus, today is the day to do it. Don't wait until the day when you are forced to recognize Him as the Savior. Recognize Him today and ask Him to come into your heart. Don't wait until He judges you at the white throne judgment and says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You see, that's too late. Ask Him to save you today. Thankfully, God is not only a God of justice, but He is also a God of grace. According to justice, sin must be judged and punished. That's the reason for the white throne judgment. That's the reason people go to hell. According to grace, sin can be pardoned and forgiven, though. In Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." And we read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." You see, the wonderful truth of the gospel is that God can be gracious to sinful men without compromising his justice. He is just, and he wants to save you today if you've never received him as your Savior. Now, in Romans chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, it says this, "To them who, by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." And now I'm going to stop here and remember, Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And Paul goes on to say in verse 8 here of chapter 2, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath." And verse 9 goes on to say, "Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile." Verse 10, "But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God." Notice the principle of judgment number 8 here. God punishes those who do evil and rewards those who do good. In verse 7, you see the word eternal. It's speaking of eternal life there. Eternal life there is how God will reward those who do good. And notice verse 8, God will reward those who do evil with his indignation and wrath. God's punishment, in other words, for sin. And number 9, in verse 9, we'll see number 3, what we're looking at here, judgments. Number 3 in verse 9, it talks about tribulation. This is affliction and anguish, extreme anxiety or emotional torment. It's how God will reward those who do evil. Number 4 in verse 10, God shows glory. He exalts, he honors, he shows great respect and provides peace, tranquility to those who do good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. See, in verses 9 and 10, it shows these things. And there is no respect of persons with God, according to verse 11. Then we see that to the Jew first means that the Jews had already received God's message of forgiveness. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 speaks of this. It says, to the Jew first, and it's seen throughout the Scriptures. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." It was given to the Jew first, but you see, everyone can be saved today by trusting Jesus Christ. He is no respecter of person. The Jew can be saved, and Gentiles can be saved. All are one when they come to Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, it says, "Unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required." You see, and the Jews had been given much, but many had refused him. Now, notice Romans chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, "For as many as have sinned against or sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." Now here's the principle of judgment number 9. There is no partiality with God. And in verse 12, it continues the thought of verse 11. God is not partial. He does not show unfair preference in judgment. All people are treated the same. And secondly, in his judgment, God does not favor the Jews, his chosen people, over the Gentiles. Both Jews and Gentiles will be judged fairly. And notice third, those who are without law are the Gentiles referred to here, as we see in verse 14. And we're going to see that in just a moment. It says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves." Well, it's speaking here of the Gentile. And number 4, those who had the law are the Jews. Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 20 says this, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and rest us in the law, and make us thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Well, notice, according to the first part of verse 12 that we've read, the Gentiles, or the heathen people who have sinned without law, will perish. And this sheds light on the question, are the heathen lost? People perish without the truth. People perish without turning to Jesus. People perish without recognizing the things around them. And remember, in chapter 1, we read how that we have the witness of nature. Everything around us that God made, in other words. There is no excuse. Now we look on in verses 13 through 15 of Romans chapter 2, where it says, For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Here is a principle of judgment number 10. A person is judged according to the life which he has. Once again, Luke chapter 12 and verse 48 says, to whom much is given, much also is required. First, the Jew possessed the law of God in written form. And we have that in the Ten Commandments and so forth and all through the Old Testament. Secondly, the Jew had been given much light. The Jew will be judged by that law which he has. Third, the Gentile who does not have the law will not be judged by the law. He will not be held accountable for what he does not have. But the Gentile does have something. The Gentile has been given some light, and he will be judged according to the light which he does have. And the Gentiles did not have the law of Moses, but there was another law which they did have. And if you'll notice in verse 15, it says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, speaking of the Gentiles, also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. You see, people are without excuse, because God has placed within us the ability to make right decisions. In verses 13 through 15, we see that it's parenthetical. The structure here is that of what's called inverted parallelism, also known as chiasm, and can be simply explained as follows. Verse 13 through 15, parenthetical, and verse 2 refers to the Gentiles, and that's verse 12, refers to the Gentiles who do not have the law, and verse 12 refers to the Jews who have the law. Verse 13 refers to the Jews, and verses 14 through 15 refers to the Gentiles. Well, you see, there are many parallels that we can see here going back and forth between the Jew and the Gentile, but the main thing is that all are without excuse. And that means unless you receive Jesus as your Savior, you're lost. And remember, Paul is laying the groundwork here. He's showing that all people need Jesus as Savior. All people are lost without Him. All people are guilty, sold under sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.